Yo, what up, what up, what up? Welcome back, y'all, to another segment of House of J. This is your host with the most, Trey Dismute. And yo, we are going to talk about something that affects each and every person on this planet. It affects you, it affects me. We have all been victims of it, y'all, and it is temptation. Yo, I cannot tell you, man, how many discussions I had on, you know, why is this going on? Why is that going on? I don't understand why I'm making this decision and going forward with this. Like, I don't want to do it, but I feel like, you know, all this thing is coming up. And yo, let me tell you something, man. We are all tempted by all sorts of things. There's this common misconception that only certain people have temptations, other people don't. You know, people that feel like they're doing bad, feel like the people that's doing good don't have the same temptations they have, and they don't go through the same thing. Yo, I've heard everything, but let me tell you something. It is something that affects us all, and it's serious, but it is something that if we understand, we can always learn to combat everything that Satan tries to throw at us. Like, I've heard every excuse. You know, the devil made me do it. Now, let me tell you, this is an excuse that many people use to justify falling into temptation and losing control. Now, while it is true that the enemy is roaming the earth seeking people to destroy, it is also true that a Christ follower has the power of God living inside of them. So is it wrong to be tempted? And who is responsible when you give into temptation or lose control? Like, do you have some options when you find yourself in a tough situation? The Bible has many things to say about temptation and self-control. So what we are about to talk about tonight is recognizing what temptation is and how we can combat it and come against it. So yo, this is going to be a fantastic show tonight. You guys do not go anywhere, yo. We will be right back after this quick break. Yo, 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 welcome back, y'all, to another segment of House of J. This is your host with the most, Trey Dismute. And yo, I just want to say to each and every one of you guys, I'm so, 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 so grateful for the way things are going along. Man, I had some beautiful conversations this week, getting some things together, man, that I cannot wait to share with you guys and really, really, really step my game up and help others around me step their game up in the ways, you know, that we're deciding to take and the areas we're going into. So, yo, I really appreciate the love, y'all. I appreciate the responses that I'm getting for all my people that are on iTunes. Thank you for the subscribes that I got. I thank you for the comments that I'm getting. Please, anybody, yo, and everybody, share it with your people, with your family, your friends, anybody you know on iTunes, anybody you know with a phone, man. Just share the link with them, share this podcast with them, and possibly, if we can just help at least one person, y'all, at least one person, then it will all be worth it. So, yo, like I said, man, earlier today, we are going to be talking about temptation, right? And temptation, everybody knows what the word is. Everybody should be familiar with temptation. So let me answer the question I asked earlier about, is being temptation wrong, being tempted wrong? Now, it's not wrong to be tempted, right? All of us will be tempted at some point in our lives. Like, I'm going to go over a little bit later, but even Jesus, right, was tempted. But it becomes wrong when we give into the temptation and we do something we know isn't right. So here's the thing about temptation. It looks good at first, It could tempt us towards something we actually want to do, but in reality, it promises something that it can't deliver. And when we give into it, we buy into a lie, right? And temptation will lead you to do wrong, whether it be to cheat on a test, to, you know, to get a good grade, or to lie to your parents or your spouse or whatever, so you don't get in trouble. But we need to learn to recognize, right, when we're being tempted to do something that we know isn't right and give it over to God. And He can give us the strength to overcome. So ask yourself, when and where do you feel like you're being tempted? And what things do you need to give to God and to get the strength from Him to do us right? Right. And the first part of that I want to talk about is purity. Right. And purity is about being clean in what we see, what we say, and what we think, and how we live. Now, these things determine how we act. It's an internal state of being clean that produces positive outward actions. Now, purity is what keeps us knowing and doing what's right. Like, we need to focus on being clean on the inside first, as the scripture tells us. And we shouldn't just pretend to have it all together on the outside. That's just being fake. Trust me, I dealt with it the most. And as a person who strives for perfection and the best I can, one of the hardest things for me to do was to stop focusing on being fake and take the mask off that I had and look on the inside and see what's going on. So we need to look inward and see what areas that we need to clean up. Now, maybe it's not getting angry, frustrated, or jealous of others, but maybe it's being patient and happy for them, right? Because one of my biggest things was patience and humility and dealing with people and being okay with it. But I'm telling you, if I can do it, I know you can do it. It's possible. It is so possible, y'all. You don't understand. You don't understand. My level of patience for people was almost non-existent. And I love people so genuine now on a level I can't even explain, because I've allowed Christ to take over, right? But it could be more than that. It could be choosing not to swear when you hear others do it and being clean in the things you say. It could be keeping your mind clean and only thinking about good things or not looking at or watching things you know you shouldn't. So, you know, think about like what areas of your life do you need to clean up a little bit? And when we can figure out how to live our lives with purity, then we can start acting the way that God has intended us to act, right? And then I'm just going to segue to the next thing, because I have so much that I want to get through, right? Because there's so much that involves temptation. And the next thing I'm going to talk about is instant gratification, which I think, especially in this day of age and this time, like, is one of the biggest issues and biggest problems that we have in this generation and everybody living in this time period. Like, so I was reading, right? And I read about Esau. And for those who don't know about Esau, Esau gave up his entire future blessings for some stew. Right? And I want everybody to his brother Jacob, you know, people say he tricked them and all this other stuff. But like, I'm gonna be honest, I don't think like you could honestly do that. Give up everything and just be tricked like that. Like, Esau had to just be dumb. I'm just gonna be honest. That's my personal opinion. The Bible don't say he was dumb, but I feel like Esau had to be dumb, because ain't no way you gonna trick me out of my future like that. But I wasn't there, so I would just go off of what the Bible says. Now, it blew my mind that he gave up so much for so little. But I want you to know that I do know that although I may not think that it was completely Jacob tricking him, but I know that that's what happens when we give into our instant gratification, right? We give up on what's important for what's immediate. So many of us are just like that. Like we want what we want and we want it now. We don't want to wait, right? Waiting's boring, it's passive, and it's more fun to get things now. So what this is all about is waiting on God. A lot of times, God wants us to wait for things. A lot of times, he wants us to wait on him because he has something better in store for us. And other times, he wants us to wait because either we're not ready or he's not ready for us. So waiting also causes us to trust in God and depend on him. And when we wait on God and his timing, right, it causes us not to do things on our own, but instead we get the blessings of seeing God at work, and his will unfold in him and we see him as making things happen for us. So it makes me think, like, what areas in my life, and think about it too, what areas in your life do you need to become better at waiting, and what do you need to become more patient and trust in God's timing and everything that he has for you? And then another thing I want to go over is repentance. So ask yourself, like, have you ever said, like, you're sorry to someone, but inside you know, you really didn't mean it? And, like, come on, like, be honest, because I know I've said it, like, just to, you know, I felt like it was shutting people up or just getting over it. So the truth is, like, we all have, right? And there's a big difference between saying you're sorry and actually being sorry. And that's where repentance comes in. And I just want you to follow me, because I'm using these three specific things because they all correlate with each other. So just roll with me and I'm gonna connect it together, right? So we're gonna talk about, like I said, repentance right now. And repentance means to literally turn away from the wrong you did and to dislike it. Right? But not just dislike it, but dislike it so much that you want nothing to do with it. Repentance it's not just saying sorry. It's an actual state of being sorry enough to change. And God's love for us is so deep that no matter how many times we're actually sorry for anything that we've done, he will always forgive us. Right? And now scripture tells us that if someone has wronged us, we should always forgive them when they ask us to. So let's turn this around. Is there anyone that you know that you need to say sorry to? And if there is, go ahead and do it. And is there anything in your life that you need to turn away from? And if there is, think about it. I need you to make it happen and know that if you're really, truly, like, if you really, truly are sorry, then you will be forgiven, right? I want to read a few scriptures, and I wrote them down. I want to, because I want you to understand what the scripture tells us about it. Now, in James, about temptation. Now, in James 1 and 14, it specifically says that temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. And just keep that in mind, because I'm going to go back to it later. And then I move down to Matthew 6 and 13. And it says, "And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one." And this was the prayer that Jesus was telling the disciples on how to pray. He says, so we do not yield to temptation, but that he rescues us from the evil one. And then if you move down, right, to Luke 22:40, right, and this was Jesus speaking again, where he told them, "Pray that you will not give into temptation." Why? Because we all experience temptation. There's no way to avoid it at all. There's no way to avoid it. So this is why I wanted to segue into it, right? So I'm gonna give you five truths about temptation and about why it's so important to recognize it and how we can be better moving forward, right? So So a lot of people listening to this, like, you may have this idea about Temptations, but like I said, Temptations are not sinful or anything to be ashamed of, right? And it's mostly because people have always assumed that Temptations must be sinful. And that's probably the reason that no one ever speaks about their temptations, because we're ashamed of them. But what would you do if you discovered that the Bible clearly states that temptations are not a sin? Right? In Hebrews 4:15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Now, what I said earlier, Jesus was tempted in all points. That's what the scripture says. Tempted in all points like we are, but he has never sinned. And if temptations were a sin, then Jesus sinned, because he was tempted just like we are. Therefore, temptations cannot be a sin or anything to be ashamed of. The Bible clearly and openly states that Jesus was tempted in all ways that we are. So temptations are normal as living and breathing. But as I want you to learn as I go through it, is that how you feel about your temptations greatly affects whether they will give birth to sin or not. So we're going to move on and talk about, like, temptations are experienced, like, by every human being. And I know I briefly went over it saying, yeah, we all deal with it. But the truth is, no one who has walked this earth can ever escape the onslaught of temptations. Not a single person. And like I said, in Hebrews 4:15, it reveals that everyone is tempted by the world, like by the things that's going on in the world. And it says specifically, but was in all points tempted as we are. So pay attention to these words, as we are. So that means that's without any exceptions or limitations. Right? And I want you to really think about how serious that is. Like, that means that you're tempted, that whoever she's tempted, he's tempted, they're tempted, like I'm tempted, everybody's tempted. And one of the most frequently quoted passages in the Bible is found in Hosea 4:6. It says, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge." So God is lamenting that my people, when he's saying my people are destroyed because of the absence of something, right? The lack of knowledge. So whenever the truth of scriptures is missing in any given area, the results are always the same. Sin runs rampant. And far too many people believe that temptations are sin, or that they're, you know, that they're unique to them, to like these people. They feel like that they have temptations, other people don't. And when we have a correct view of temptation, though, you know, we can overcome it. And we won't be destroyed due to, you know, a lack of biblical knowledge. So, listen, like I said, temptations are a normal experience of everybody, no matter how godly. And there are far too many of us that are tragically, you know, we're misinformed about the truth of temptations. And people assume that the more godly a person is, the less temptations they'll face. Yet the most godly of all humans that have ever lived, Jesus Christ, was in all points tempted as we are. Jesus wasn't just tempted a little, but in all ways as we are. That's shocking, right? And it shows us that godliness does not in any way limit the number of temptations we may receive. In fact, when you read, right, about many of the, like, the famous, like, Christian classics of all the different stories in the Bible and the saints from across history, like, they all lament on the number and strength of their temptations. And over time, however, the nature of their temptations seem to change from more serious sins to far lesser sins. And temptations can be conquered the more that we walk with the Lord, but they remain present in our lives until we cross over to the other side where he is. right? Author C.S. Lewis once said that no man knows how bad he is until he has tried to be good. And that there's this silly idea about that good people don't know what temptation means. But the fact is, temptation roars its ugly head around us all. But we all have been called on to watch and pray that we don't fall into, according to Matthew 26:41, to fall into something presumes it already exists. Our job then is in how we respond to temptation when it actually comes. So I'm gonna tell you guys something that I learned through researching. And this, I really want you to pay attention to this part. Like, for real, what I'm about to say. Now, temptations are normal, right? That they're God-given desires that seek to trespass God's boundaries. So that's if I can give you the definition of temptations, right? And write it down. I want you to write it down and really think about it. They are God-given desires that seek to trespass God's boundaries. So the answer of what temptations are, it may surprise you, because temptations, like I said, are based upon the normal desires that God has gave to all of us, but with one thing out of place, and those desires seek to trespass the boundaries that God has established for us. So in other words, a temptation is simply a good desire gone bad, right? Our God-given desires become temptations when we desire too much or too far or in the wrong place or with the wrong person, right? Temptations are simply the inner push, right, for our normal desires to overstep God's boundaries. And often the Bible calls our sins a trespass, right? So that means to go beyond a clear boundary into forbidden or off limits territory. So every single, not a little bit, not a few of them, but every single temptation is rooted in a normal desire, right? God himself gave us our desires and wants us to learn through experience to honor and obey his stated boundaries. So take the normal desire to eat, for instance, right? Now, God created food for mankind to eat and put in each of us a desire to eat. So, you know, we feel hunger, which is the result of our God-given desire to eat, right? So when does this desire to eat become a temptation? And that's when we succumb to the desire to eat too much and to move into the sin of gluttony. Temptation is simply the desire to eat pushed too far beyond the boundaries of self-control that God desires. Now, I was studying, I went a little deeper on the word desire, right? And I want you guys to follow me. And if anybody wants to, you know, wants me to kind of go back over it, go ahead and send me a message and I will be glad to break it down for you, because I thought this was so interesting to understand the dynamics and the verbiage that is used in. So the New Testament, right? The New Testament word desire is translated from the Greek verb. It's called epithymeo, and that's E-P-I-T-H-Y-M-E-O. Right. And the Greek word is translated desire 8 times, the word covet 3 times, lust 3 times, and lust after 1 time. Right. So how then do we know what to translate the single Greek word desire or lust? So I'm going to read some verses. Right. And I want you to take a look at them and see what I mean by this. So in 1 Timothy 3:1. Right. It says that this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Right. But then you go down to Matthew 5:28. It says, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart. Now, the translators knew that the root, like I said, epithymeo, means to desire in normal usage. Like it said in the first scripture, desiring to be a bishop is a good thing. But when that desire focuses on an unhealthy or sinful object, then they translated it with the word lust instead of using desire. Notice that. They translated it with the word lust. Now, lust is simply strong desire. But when that strong desire is for an inappropriate action, such as adultery, then the epithemeo is better translated as lust. And then we understand it that way. So the word is also translated in the King James by the word covet, even though like the word still means desire. So for instance, Paul writes in Acts chapter 20, verse 33, it says, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. So I had to ask myself, why does the Bible translate desire as covet? And it's simply because the desire was focused on desiring the property that didn't belong to him. So these illustrations, right, all just prove the point that temptations are simply normal desires that entice us to go beyond the boundaries that God has established for all of us. Every single temptation you will ever experience are all based upon normal desires. But when you deny, you know, your desires from going too far or too fast, you don't sin. And since temptations are simply God-given desires, they aren't sinful but normal. So what you and I do with our desires, however, determines if we walk in obedience or we stray into disobedience. Right. And the very last truth I want to go over, y'all, and this is very important, is that temptation, right, precedes every single sin. So if you overcome temptations, you won't sin. Right. So look, if you learn this profound truth, this very last one, right, it will help you immensely in your Christian walk. Right now, every sin that you ever commit, you or me will always commit, and I mean always, is preceded by a temptation. So the logic behind that, right, is if you overcome temptation, then guess what? You won't sin. Now, you have to embrace this all-important fact to understand temptation and understand sin. And that's that temptation precedes every sin. So with that in mind, let's look back, right, at Hebrews 4:15 again, which connects temptation and sin. Because it says, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus was tempted, but he did not permit the desires he felt to find inappropriate fulfillment in any selfish or sinful act. So this means that Jesus felt the desire just like all of us. He just chose not to allow those desires to give birth to sin. So could it be, right, therefore, that like the great, like overlooked secret of overcoming sin in your life is to focus on defeating the temptations you face and not so much on defeating the sin that are the results of your choice to give into your temptations? Like, listen, I was thinking in sin, there's three stages, right, in every temptation. We'll rather say sin because sin is the last result of it. But it's desire, which leads to temptation, which leads to sin. So if you tone down the intensity of your wrongful desire, then temptations flee into the darkness, powerless and defeated. Right? And defeated temptations means that you no longer must struggle with that particular desire to sin because you exercised your self-discipline and said no to that straying desire. So we have to understand, like I said, what temptation is and how to defeat it to be able to walk into the light of the glory that God has placed upon us and to walk in the truth and righteousness each and every day. We have the power to overcome temptation. We have the power to overcome sin. When Jesus Christ went to Calvary and died for us, we are no longer slaves of sin. And we don't have to be if we just make a choice. I don't know if I'm going to go over anymore or have a part two or what. You guys, please let me know. I'm going to end it right there. Let me know what you think. Let me know what your thoughts, your feelings are, your reactions. Guys, I really take pride in all that I do and working as if I'm working for the Lord with this, man. I take time to do research. I take time to really go to God with it. And I really, really hope that you guys are able to take this and absorb this and really, really, really come to the realization that God has a word for you and that He loves you so much that He will use any and every available vessel to be able to reach your heart and your mind. I love each and every one of you guys. I pray that you have a fantastic rest of the week. I will be praying for each and every one of you. Like I said, guys, make sure that anybody who has not done it yet, make sure you go on iTunes and check me out. Go ahead, check out the House of J. Hit the subscribe button. Leave me a review. Leave me some comments and let me know what you think. I am out for the night, guys. I pray that you stay blessed and make sure that we are avoiding temptation. I love you guys. Have a great night. See you.